Greetings to each of you on this beautiful Sunday morning. As I was preparing to share a message on Mother's Day and also thinking about the baby dedication that we had planned for this morning, my mind was thinking about both of them. And recently I read a post by Frank Reed. He does some blogging. I don't know how many of you follow his blogs, but I would like to share one or to read one that he shared on April 29th that was called or titled A Beautiful Bundle of Life. I thought it fits well for the baby dedication and it being Mother's Day. It's a bit lengthy, but I'd like to use it for an introduction to the message this morning. So one thing about Frank Reed, he has worked with many people over the years. He's I would guess somewhere in his 70s, maybe upper 70s by now. He shares this from his life experiences and observations, and it's rather touching from what he shared, thinking about a new baby coming into this world. And I'll read what he shared. He says, "This subject continues to be the most gripping part of my life and study. Working with people always returns me to this subject. Lives are precious. They are a gift from God. We all got here the same way. From then on, differences abound. Some lives are joyful, some lives are sorrowful. We did not choose to be born or where or to whom. We did not choose our family or our training. Our lives were shaped by our environment. We all came into the world the same way. We had a father and a mother. After gestation, we burst into this world as a beautiful bundle of life. As I work with people of all ages, an image rises up before my eyes. Once upon a time, this sad and hurting person was a beautiful bundle of life. A bundle of life with so many possibilities, so many opportunities, so much anticipated joy and happiness. What happened? What went wrong? How did it happen? What can I do to bring blessing to this hurting person?" So he's counseled a lot of people in his life. "How can it be a channel of God's love and joy to them?" He went on to say, "We can shape a life any way we want. We can take that little bundle and give it to an Amish family. 15 years later, that young man or woman would be speaking Dutch and driving a horse and buggy. Or we could give that little bundle to an Amazon family. 15 years later, he or she would be speaking that language and living the jungle life. Amish or Amazon, we could shape that life any way we want. How is life supposed to be shaped? How should children be raised? In the fear and admonition of the Lord is what the Bible says. What does that mean? And these words, which I command thee this day, shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently unto your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up," as it says in Deuteronomy. And then Frank went on to share, "Parents are to provide protection and instruction, guidance and direction to their children. Fathers are to be examples of godliness, not to discourage and anger their children. Mothers are to be examples of godliness and nourish and cherish their children. These little bundles must be protected and prepared for life. Troubled homes and troubled churches are a death knell to the young life. The life that God bestowed on that little bundle can be harmed or even extinguished by careless and abusive parents. The life of a hurt and harm that ensues is tragic indeed. And just to think that they began as a beautiful little bundle of life, a gift from Almighty God. It is so difficult to reinfuse life into a hurting heart. It can happen, and it does, but it is so difficult. The pains of rejection and abuse linger long into adulthood. What does Jesus think about this? Some of his harshest words were spoken into this type of situation. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receives me. But whoso shall offend," meaning entice to sin, "one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven." That's from Matthew. "The meek and mild Jesus, who held little children on his knee, has no patience for those who would insult and harm one of them. Imagine the harshness of his words. What will happen on Judgment Day when people stand before the Judge of all the earth? They will give account for how they have treated little children, those beautiful bundles of life, teeming with anticipation and joy and happiness, and contaminated and snuffed out by careless, hurting, insensitive adults. What will Jesus say? I'm almost done here, but Frank also went on. He said, as I try to speak words of healing into hurting hearts, I wonder, what do they need to hear? Can they feel the love they need? Can they feel the love of Jesus? Can they know He cares? Can that little bundle of life be restored? Can that spark of life be fanned into a flame that can burn brightly? Can my life portray the life of Jesus? Can my words be the words of Jesus, the Word of God? How are you shaping the lives under your care? They are eternal souls. God will hold you accountable. I'll just stop there. It's not quite the end of his post, but some of his observations as you think, or as we think about that little child being born, and the example that Frank gave, that you can place that child into an Amish family or the Amazon family, and they're going to be living very different lives based on how they were raised. And then when you think about our world and all the problems that our world faces, every one of those people, whether we view people as part of the problem or helping us to bring a solution, they were all once a little baby that was loved and cared for, or maybe that was rejected at times and experienced a lot of hurt. So no doubt raising children is a great responsibility. So with it being Mother's Day, I want to wish every mother a happy Mother's Day. As I was preparing this, I looked back over some of the Mother's Day messages that I would have shared previous years, and I struggle a little bit to know where to go with a Mother's Day message. And I think the first Mother's Day message I shared, I talked some about the origin of Mother's Day and how it came to be a recognized day. And I'm curious if anyone knows when or who made Mother's Day an official day that we remember and celebrate. Anyone know the date or who brought it into effect? I wouldn't have without looking back. From what I found, it was in May of 1914 that President Woodrow Wilson proclaimed the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day. And that was influenced by a lady. I did not actually put her name in the notes this morning, but it was someone who wanted to honor mothers. And then the president in 1914 made it an official day to recognize mothers, the second Sunday in May. And we still observe that today in the United States, a day to recognize mothers. And I think it's a day that's worthwhile celebrating and remembering and honoring mothers. I'll try to keep the message brief this morning for the sake of having the baby dedication. The title of the message this morning is The Power of a Pious Mother. The Power of a Pious Mother. That word pious, the definition I would like to think of is someone who is loyal, someone who is devoted or dedicated, and also someone who is faithful. If you had a mother who was devoted to her calling, there was a lot of power in that. She likely influenced you in a powerful way. The power of a pious or devoted mother. So this morning I want to recognize and encourage mothers, because a mother has a powerful influence on her children. There's a quote by James Faust. He has said, "The influence of a mother in the lives of her children is beyond calculation." Or it's unmeasurable. The influence of a mother in the lives of her children is beyond calculation. And I believe that's true, because she not only impacts, most mothers not only impact their children, but their life goes on to influence or impact her grandchildren. And in many cases, I believe even great-grandchildren, even if she isn't still living, that mother or grandmother or great-grandmother still has an influence many times over future generations. And it'll be the same as fathers, but this morning we're going to look mainly at mothers and the power of a pious mother. And I recognize in society there's many mothers that would rather pursue careers rather than being a stay-at-home mother. And I realize there's times where, depending on the circumstances, where mothers, they need to find a job. And I'm not here to say a mother with young children can never hold a job. There's times where something can work, whether it's part-time, whatever. But I think a mother should really focus on her calling and raising her children or caring for her children. So this morning, as we think about Mother's Day, I'd like to think of it from a few angles. So we have a number of mothers here this morning, of young mothers here. So I want to encourage you in your motherhood. And also, for those of us who have mothers, especially mothers that are still living, we should take the time today to thank them and to show appreciation for them. And I am grateful this morning for a pious mother that God blessed me with, a godly mother, one who was devoted. I'm thankful for a devoted mother to our children. Very thankful for Londa. And I'm really thankful for all the mothers here represented here this morning as well that are pious, that are devoted to their calling. It is truly a blessing to have. So for a text this morning, you can turn to Proverbs 31. I plan to read verses 10 through 31. And before I read these verses, so Proverbs 31 is known by probably most of you as the virtuous woman or a godly woman. In my studies, I've found that Proverbs 31 was originally written, the Old Testament, was written in Hebrew, but Proverbs 31, each verse started with a letter in the Hebrew alphabet. Now, obviously, I don't read Hebrew. I don't know if anyone can read Hebrew here or not, but that's how it was originally written. And it was written by King Lemuel. You can read in verse 1, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. So, written by Lemuel, given to him by his mother. We don't know exactly who Lemuel was, or in the studies I found, it could have been, no one knows for sure. Maybe Solomon's son, not all would agree on that. We don't know exactly who he was, but these are the words of his mother that he wrote down. And I think what can happen when you read Proverbs 31, you might think, okay, this sets the bar really high for a godly woman or a virtuous woman. It might almost seem unattainable. And yet, I don't think that this proverb was written about a very specific woman. Like, this is everything she does, like thinking about a specific woman. But this is the job, or this is what a virtuous woman should look like, or these are some of the things that her calling is. This is obviously under the Old Testament. We don't, there's a lot of principles that we can apply, but we're not going to go through this verse by verse and say, okay, this is what we practice today. Like, there's things that we do, but the principles are still standing. They are still there. Also, before I read the verse, I want to note, there are principles that every one of us can apply in this passage. So it's, again, geared towards mothers. It's Mother's Day, and yet there's principles here for every one of us. So I'd like to read verses 10 through 31 in Proverbs 31. Verse 10, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field, and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the staff. Verse 20, she stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen, and selleth it, and delivereth the girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up, and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Verse 30, favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. So what I had done as I was looking at these verses, I wrote down 10 things that I'd like to touch on in the message here this morning. And again, I'll go through these rather quickly, but some characteristics of a virtuous woman, or if you want to think about 10 characteristics of a pious woman, a devoted woman, a woman that cares for or cares about the calling that God has placed in her life. So the first one I wrote down, she is invaluable, or she is vital. She is key. Like she has a vital place. She's crucial. Something or a virtuous woman has great value. In verse 10, it says, her price is far above rubies. We can't actually put a price on a virtuous woman. You know, there's a lot of things in life that we put a price tag to that we can, okay, this is the value of this item. When many stores where they sell their items, they put a value to the item. We can't put a price tag on a godly woman, a pious woman. They're worth far greater than that. For those of you who work with tools, there's some tools that are needed, that they're crucial, that you can't do without. There's one tool that I use quite a bit in the shop. It's a little modeling tool that I use for shaping clay. And that tiny little tool can sometimes go missing. But if that tool is missing, I search diligently until I find it, because it's a needed tool in the shop. And a godly woman, a virtuous woman, is very needed. She plays a significant role in the home. So, again, the first one, she is invaluable, or she is vital. So women, all women, you are needed. God has a calling on your life. The second one I noted, she is trustworthy. Talks about here her husband can safely trust in her. A virtuous woman is a helpmeet for her husband as God designed it, that they would be a team. They would work as a team. Her husband can go away for the day, go to work, and he knows that things will be okay at home. He can trust her to do him good. I know there's many times where spouses will talk down on their spouse. Remember in the workplace, sometimes the men would come in and they would just really talk behind behind the back of their wife and say very negative and hurtful things. That's tearing down. And when spouses do that to each other, that doesn't build trust. That's distrust. They're not functioning as a team. But a godly woman, a trustworthy woman, her husband can safely trust in her. And men, if you have a wife that you can trust in, that is a great blessing. You can't put a price tag to that. If you have a mother that is a trustworthy mother, that is a great blessing. The third one I noted, she is devoted to her family. A devoted mother. Verse 15, she says, she arises while it is yet night. and gives meat to her household. And that's some of these, if I don't, you can look at this and you think, okay, she's got to be, you know, getting up before everyone else and getting food ready. And I don't read through these verses and saying this is exactly how you got to apply. But to say she's devoted to her family. She's hardworking. And recently with having a newborn child in her family, I see the devoted heart that my wife has to the baby. Getting up at night, sacrificing sleep many times. I believe every mother can probably relate to much sacrifice in caring for her household. Taking care of the needs of children. When there's sickness in the household, there's many sacrifices. I didn't realize this is not just sacrifices that the mother should be making, but again, looking at it specifically with it being Mother's Day, there's a godly mother is devoted to her family. An interesting verse here. If you have any thoughts on it, you can talk to me afterwards. But she considereth a field and buyeth it, and with the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. So what would you husbands say if you came home from work and your wife tells you that she bought, you know, an acre of land? How would you feel about that? This is why I say there's principles that we can apply here. I don't know exactly what it looked like back then, but the reason she went and bought the land was to provide for her family, to plant, to bring in food for the family. So not all of us are going to have wives, or if, are any of us going to have wives that are just making a decision to go and buy land. But thinking again about the wife caring for the needs of her household. So maybe in today's terms, it could read something like her going to Aldi or going to Hornings to buy food for her family, whatever that may look like, but seeing the needs that are there in her family. I don't know if that was a common thing for the wives just to go out and buy land back in the day, but it would almost appear that way. So she, again, thinking about that third one, she's devoted to her family. She's a busy woman and making many sacrifices for the good of her family. And then the fourth one that I noted, in verse 20, it talks about caring for the poor, caring for the needy. So I just noted she cares for the needy. So not only is she caring about the needs within her own family, but she also, she goes beyond that and at times see the needs of neighbors, or maybe when she's going to Hornings or going to Aldi, sees the need that someone else has and is willing to extend beyond or extend help beyond her own family. So she also cares for the needy. And I realize as mothers, you all go through different stages of motherhood as well. And there's times where it's going to be very hard to reach out beyond your own family. And then there's also, I believe, opportunities where you will have to extend help to those in need as well. And then the fifth one I noted, I just wrote down, she has a bridled tongue. Verse 26 says, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Children will sometimes put mothers and fathers to the test, and it's not always easy to have a bridled tongue or a kind tongue. But she uses her tongue carefully. James says in chapter 1 that we should be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. So this is a principle that we can all apply. We are called to have a bridled tongue, not just mothers, but we all are called to be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. We all need to be speaking kind words. And saying kind words doesn't mean that we won't bring correction when correction is needed. When a parent, when a mother loves her children, she will also need to speak to discipline as well. But it must be done from a heart of love, a heart of care. And then the sixth one I wrote down, she is not lazy. And verse 27 says, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. So she is very intentional about caring for her children. And in verse 21 talks about she is not afraid of the snow for her household. I'm amazed at times how my wife, just the clothing is there for the children. And you have different seasons where when you have a growing family and you have, you know, spring, summer, fall, winter, you need some different types of clothing. In the winter, you need coats and stuff to go outside and bundle up. And sometimes last year's coat doesn't fit anymore. And there's a lot of work, a lot of thought that goes into this for a mother providing for her family. And again, this is not all on the mother. The father can do things as well. But a mother is very busy looking after the well-being of her household. And being a mother, I realize, is also a very repetitive job. And sometimes it's just the same thing over and over. Making food, washing clothing, and a lot of just repetitive work, the mundane. But when done for a heart that really cares for a family, it does not go unnoticed, or it should not go unnoticed by those in the family, but God also recognizes. And then verse the seventh one I have down is, she is blessed and praiseworthy. Verse 28 says, her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Children, all of you children, no matter what age you are here this morning, I want you to recognize your mother does a lot of work for you. And today, especially, I would like all you children to thank your mother for what she does for you. You can thank her for the food that you eat today. You can thank her for clean clothing. Or maybe you wash your own clothing, and if you do, that's okay. Think about some things that you can thank your mother for. I'm sure you could create your own list of many things that you're thankful for. And I appreciate this morning some of my children made cards for my wife, for their mother, showing appreciation for her. And I think we do well to do that on Mother's Day. It doesn't have to be limited to Mother's Day, but it's a time where we can recognize all their hard work. And then the eighth one I have down, she lives with an eternal perspective. Verse 30 says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. And this ties in with the ninth one that I wrote down. I wrote down, she fears the Lord. A virtuous woman or a pious woman fears the Lord. So she lives with an eternal perspective. She recognizes that just seeking favor or recognition doesn't have much value. Beauty is vain. There's a lot of women in our society that focus more on favor and beauty and not so much on the things that really matter. Not so much fearing the Lord and not so much about being a pious woman. A godly woman focuses more about what really matters, not so much on beauty or a name for herself, but she fears the Lord and she lives with an eternal perspective. And then the 10th one I just wrote down, she is rewarded. Verse 31 says, give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gate or in the gates. I believe every godly woman will be rewarded not only in this life, but also for eternity. And the reason I say this life, I realize being a homemaker, being a stay-at-home mother, caring for your children is a lot of hard work, and a lot of it does go unnoticed. A lot of times you might not feel appreciated, but when a mother pours into her family, and maybe I should have some of the women sharing on this that can speak from experience. But I believe there's many blessings that come as you observe your children growing up and maturing. And all that hard work that you invest in their life, there's a blessing that comes with it in seeing them live out what you have invested in their life. And sometimes your children will come back and thank you and praise you for what you have done. But also, God is watching, and I believe ultimately there's a reward coming in heaven for every woman who lives out her God-given calling. I believe God will bless every faithful mother. So in conclusion, thinking about the power of a pious or devoted mother. To every woman, whether you're a mother here or not, you do have a purpose and you have a high calling, and you can have a great impact on others. You're making a difference in people's lives. And if you're a mother, you have a significant role in the lives of your children. So again, I want to encourage you to continue living out that God-given calling that He has placed in your life. And if you have a mother here that you can thank, if you have a mother living today that you can thank today, take the time to do it, to show appreciation, whether you can see her in person, whether you can thank her, or whether you just have to call or text, make it a point today to do something to show your appreciation for her. And maybe to go away here with, I know I've covered, 10 different things here. It's going to be hard to remember all 10. Maybe to summarize it a little bit more, thinking about the power of a pious woman, and then three more P words to go with that. A faithful mother will provide, she will protect, and she will prepare them. So she will provide, physical things for them, but it goes beyond physical as well. She provides in other ways, emotional, spiritual. She protects, not just physically, but emotionally, spiritually. She cares for the well-being of her children. And then thirdly, she is preparing them for life. This does not happen quickly. Now, Connie, you could probably say this window is pretty short that you have. Like in the beginning, when a child is born, it seems like, 20 years or whatever God gives you that for the life of the child, like this is a long period. And yet I'm in this span of raising children. It's like, okay, this does pass by pretty quickly. The days might seem long, but yet the years go by so quickly. And we are called to, as parents or as mothers specifically this morning, your job is to prepare them for life. So this means teaching them, guarding their hearts, caring for them. So the power of a pious woman: provide, protect, and prepare. And God will bless you for your faithfulness. A virtuous woman is really spent for others. And really, that's the Christian calling, to be to serve others. But specifically looking at women this morning, a virtuous woman cares for the needs of others. So again, to every mother here this morning, happy Mother's Day. And God bless you as you continue to live out your God-given role. And God will bless you for your faithfulness. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. Thank you for every godly mother, well, every mother. Whether they're a Christian or not, we recognize that every mother that cares for her children makes many sacrifices for the lives of her children. Thank you for all the godly mothers that you have blessed us with this morning. Thank you for every godly mother here. I pray that they would be encouraged to continue on in the role that you have given them. I pray for every woman here that's not a mother, that they would also find fulfillment in where they are at in life, and that they would continue to live out their God-given role, and that they would continue to bless others where you have called them. And I just pray that we could be a congregation that continues to build up others and to help others in their walks of life, wherever they may be. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.